Today is May 30th. We are about to enter into the month of June. Summer's a-coming. We have been in our study on kingdom culture. Today we're going to do kingdom culture part 9, a culture of generosity. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. It says, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. I know sometimes you don't see that in the mirror, but Jesus says you are the light of the world. Do you want to go with his word or your word? You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hid. And so men don't light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I'm going to do what I've done the last 2 weeks. I'm just going to read actually all the scriptures that we're going to go through. I may skip some, but I'll just maybe expound or expand on some of them more. But if you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. If you don't, you don't have to, obviously. But I just want to allow the scriptures to give you a feel of generosity. Generosity. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. I love this line. You know how I've read this my entire Christian walk, and this line never jumped out at me till just this week. Throughout all ages, throughout all generations. In other words, God is continually doing exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or even think in every age. That is the age before us, the age we're in, and the age after us, and the ages to come. What will that be like? John 3:16, you know this. Love gives. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave generosity. Love is generous. And he gave. What did he give? He gave the best. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. That's the heart of the Father. Generosity, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. That's just the way it is. If you have a field and you want to throw seed in it, if you're going to throw a little bit of seed, your harvest is going to be small. If you throw a lot of seed, your harvest will be bigger. But right after that, he says in verse 7, every man should give according to what he purposes in his heart. Let him give that. Not grudgingly. Or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. Why does God love a cheerful giver? Because that's who he is. He is generous. We just sang all day about his goodness. He's generous. Proverbs 13:7, there's one that makes himself rich but has nothing. Can you imagine that deception that we've all lived at some time? There's one that makes himself rich and has nothing, and there's one that makes himself poor yet has great wealth. Proverbs 11:24 and 25, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. Another little portion of this next scripture jumped out at me. Proverbs 22:9. Whoever has a bountiful eye. You have a bountiful eye? A bountiful eye. I just never thought of that expression or the picture that it creates. You have the ability to see the big picture. You have the ability to understand that you are enlarged. Therefore, if you have a bountiful eye, what does it say? You share your bread with the poor. That's a beautiful picture. You got big eyes. You got Betty Davis eyes. Remember that song? And Proverbs 19:17. He who lends to a poor man lends to the Lord. And his good deed he will pay him again. Now I know a lot of those scriptures have the feel of give and it will be given unto you. Give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing will God pour into you. And that's good and that's true. But what we're talking about is in kingdom culture, we're talking about the essence and the character of God. That's what we've been in, right? For 8 dull weeks. We've learned nothing. We've got nothing. But what we've been talking about, as we've listened to the wah, 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 the words that have been interpreted by the Spirit are that we are talking about the character and the nature of God himself. And so when we talk about generosity, we're talking about the King. We're talking about the one who's the head of the kingdom. He's generous. What's my favorite parable? The parable of the workers, with the 12-hour workers and the 1-hour worker and the one who came last. And what did God, what did the landowner give him? He gave him a full day's wage. And Jesus at the end of that parable says this, are you angry that I'm generous? You're not angry if you're the 1-hour worker. You're the one singing how the goodness of God. You're the one singing God is so good. While the person who worked 12 hours, got 12 hours pay, is going, yeah, he is sometimes. He's all right. But the reason I love that parable is because that's Dad. That's our Father. He's generous. And if in that particular moment or season of my life, it seems like I'm just getting what's coming to me, and I'm not getting swarmed over by the favor of God because I don't have that bumper sticker on my car, or I'm not reading the right book about favor. That's how I raise my kids. You better figure me out if you want some of my stuff. If you want me to be generous, you better figure out the mathematics and the mechanics. You better figure out what hoops you got to jump through, the things you got to say and how to say them right. Otherwise, I just withhold my resources. Now, is that how we are? No, we give our kids what they need and we give them more. Have you been to Disney World? All right, have you been to Washington Mall? That was a good trip. It's all kind of things you can play with there. Did you ever get on that little thing? 25 cents. Save your parents some money. Disney World, who needs that? But if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, are we generous with our kids? How much more? How much more will God give to his children? And so we're talking about the character and the nature of God. He's generous. He's not a penny pincher. God doesn't always go to the dollar store. And he says, I'm going to give you, you know what? I'm going to bless you today. I'm going to give you whatever you want. Whatever you want, buy anything. You go to the dollar store. He's not a penny pincher. He's not tight. He's extravagant in his grace. The original accusation, the first accusation we read in the scripture is that God holds out. When we read the garden account, And the serpent, that sneaky snake, he said, did God say you should? He knows that the day you eat from that tree that you'll be like him. He's holding out on you. And they went, he is? You mean he's not generous? He doesn't. All this that we see all around us, the evidence that surrounds us about his goodness isn't true. You mean he said we could eat from every single tree, but that one he's holding out on us. That's the one I want. That's the one I desire. That's the one I crave. I sleep. I can't get that tree out of my bountiful eye. I wake up. I can't stop thinking about that one tree. I can enjoy all the trees, but I want that one tree. He's holding out on me. I know it's true. But of course, a good father has boundaries. A good parent has guidelines and things that they create for their children. Why? Because it leads to life. And so God knows that our independence, our self-will would not lead to life, but our trust and understanding of his wisdom and his perfection would. But the original accusation was he's holding out on you. Did you ever go to a gathering? I know you've done this because I do it. Let the cat out of the bag here. Did you ever go to a party, a wedding, a gathering, and then you're thinking about, man, I wonder what they're going to have to eat. Finger food, hot dog. Can we stop and get something before we go? Who'll fess up, say you thought that? Okay, just my family. And so you get there, and sometimes you're pleasantly surprised. And you're like, wow, look at all this wonder. I didn't expect to eat all that. And sometimes you're like, oh my, we're going to eat after this. My point isn't to make you feel good or bad about how you do a party. My point is that when you come to God's table, it's a banqueting table. It is full of wonders. It is overflowing with generous supply. Our Father puts out a good table. The Lord is your shepherd, therefore your cup does what? It overflows. You have more than enough. He's generous. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. And as we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love's true nature gives. Love never says this, if you love me, you'll. That's manipulation. That's control. That's self-love. Love in itself, if you want to know what love is, read 1 Corinthians 13. That's a partial picture of love. But it's love, true love, is about the object, not about the one who is loving. And so God is love, and therefore he must give. And so as we said, when he talks about it being a cheerful giver, that's who he is. And so as I've said this the last 2 weeks, you know, of all the people on the face of the earth, if anybody should have hope, it should be who? Us. Of all the people on the face of the earth, of all the families on the face of the earth, who should be those who forgive? So that holds true today. If any group of people or people who claim to be followers of the one, we should be a generous group. We should be a group who gives abundantly. And so the picture in the scripture and in real life and in geography over in Israel, there's the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, and these are connected by the Jordan River. And so up in the north, the tributaries and the creeks or the cricks and the waterways, they go into and form the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, and there's cities all around there. The different ones you read about that Jesus visits, you know, like Capernaum and Tiberias and Sermon on the Mount and all these things are right around the Sea of Galilee. There's a whole bunch of, there's life in there. That's where they fish. That's where they get their livelihood. That's where they get their sustenance because the water comes into the Sea of Galilee by those tributaries and then it leaves via the Jordan River. And because it takes and then gives, it is teeming with life. But if you follow that Jordan River to the south and you get into the Jericho area, you will come into Qumran area, where the Essenes were, where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And down there is Masada. It's a very arid climate. It's very deserty. But anyway, it's south. It's real cool in Israel how you can go from one climate to another in just an hour. But anyway, you make your way down the Jordan River, and then that empties into what is called the Dead Sea. And the reason why it's called the Dead Sea is because nothing can live in it. It has no exit. It only receives. It never gives. It is rich. It is rich with all types of mineral deposits. You can buy the mud that comes from there and put it on your face and your body, and you can exfoliate. But it's very, very rich in minerals and wealth. But it's dead because it's not generous. It doesn't give. It doesn't carry the likeness of the one who put within the fabric of life itself the essence of himself. That true joy comes from being generous, because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. You don't believe that, do you? And so, yeah, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. And so Proverbs 13:7, there's one that makes himself rich yet has nothing, and there's one that makes himself poor but has great wealth. Proverbs 11:24-25, one gives freely yet grows all the richer. Another holds and withholds what he has or what he should give, but only suffers once. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. And we talked about a bountiful eye. One of the things that we talked about last week is that the story of the worker and the ones who are in debt, and the one owed, according to Jay's math, 150,000 years of debt. Wasn't that right? That's good math. I couldn't figure that out. Especially up here. My mind races up here. But 150,000 years of debt. That's a lot of debt. That's a lot of money you owe. And so when you're forgiven that, it is quite a lift off your shoulders. And then when we heard the story of the son who comes home and he's forgiven all that debt, just like in that story. But the elder brother, he's like the one who went out afterwards and wanted to hold the account over his younger brother's head. And the father has to go out, and he says to the stubborn elder brother who isn't seeing things correctly, he says to him, the generous one says, everything I have is yours. The generous one says, everything I have is yours. And if that's true, then I can be generous. He's generous with salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Jesus taught us that sparrows don't reap. They don't sow. They don't reap. But these non-sowing sparrows, what do? They are fed by the gracious, generous hand of God. And then he tells us also that there are these beautiful little flowers, little lilies that he clothes and arrays with beauty that are here one day, gone the next. He's extravagant. He's generous. He's bountiful. What may seem wasteful to us, which the word prodigal means, wasteful, the story shouldn't be called the prodigal son. The story should be called the prodigal father. Because it would seem wasteful that he would just give everything, but that's what love does. I remember, these are two papa stories. And we say this one all the time. It's become kind of like a what would you call it? A byword? What do you call it? Cliche? What's another word? Something you say all the time. Tagline? Yeah, that works. figure of speech. That works. Anyway, it's the tagline is, well, that was very generous of you, Jan. That's the tagline. That was very generous of you, Jan. Now here's the backstory. So it was Jackie's birthday, and our tradition, our family is, if it's your birthday, you get to pick where you want to go, and then we go where Papa wants to go. No. No, he will definitely make a suggestion. But anyway, it's your birthday. You get to pick where you want to go. And so this time, Jackie wanted to go to, what's the name of that place? Bravo Franco. Yeah, both the kids. Bravo Franco, they remember. All right, Bravo Franco. Now, this is somewhere downtown. I don't even know the street. It's right across from either Heinz or the Benedum-ish, close. Anyway, we walk into this place, and we sit down, and you sit down at a restaurant and you look at the food, but then you look over to the right and you're like, don't want to look, you don't want your eyes to bug out. So you play it cool, but on the inside you go, what? It's like $10 for water? So the joke is you go in, it's like, oh, hello, welcome to Bravo Franco. Would you like to be seated? Yes. $3. $3 per seat. Okay. Would you like a napkin? Anyway, so we're sitting there, and the waiter says, can I get you whatever to drink? And then it's time for the appetizers. Can I get some appetizers for the table? And everybody's like, there's probably, 11, 15 of us there. And nobody can figure out what they wanted for an appetizer. And my mom finally goes, you know what? Just give us the, I think it was zucchini. Just give us zucchini for the table. Put it on our bill. Generous. Mimi, you've always been generous. Mimi serves me all my life. I'm her baby. To this day. So Papa looks over and goes, the tagline. Well, that was very generous of you, Jan. It's like it's real easy to spend my money. Generosity. So second Papa story. We were going to, another tradition we have is Tuesday nights. We normally try to go to movies because that's $5 movie night. So we were going to Bridgeville. A bunch of us were piled in the van, and we're pulling into the plaza in Bridgeville where the Taco Bell is there. Well, it used to be. And we pass that, and we're about to make a left, and I see this family over there with the sign. They're sitting there, and the sign says, need help, God bless you, poor, take anything, blah, blah, blah. And it was one of those deals where I'm like, oh, I got everybody in the car. I'm starting to play this over in my mind. I'm going to drive by them. I keep going. The movie, the time, and then eventually, you know how that works, right? It's like, oh, I turn around. And so Papa's like, where are you going? I was like, didn't you see that family there with the sign? He's like, no, I didn't. We pull over, and he's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to give him my, what do I have in my car? 3 boxes of chicken salad that I just freshly made for them. And so I give them the chicken. I had water in the back. I've got the bars, the oats and honey bars. What are those things called? Granola from the dollar store. I keep back there for when I'm hungry, when I'm playing disc golf. Anyway, I'm giving them all this stuff, and Papa's like, oh, why'd you do that? He's like, Rob, you know, I just read an article where these people come over from other countries, and what they do is they just sit in these parking lots, and they make a pretty good living. I said, well, that's good. And then we drove away, and I can't remember if it was that night or the day after. He goes, Rob, that was really nice what you did. I thought about that. That was nice. Generosity. So generosity can be contagious. Papa, very generous, if he likes you. 600 to 900 bottles of wine Jesus made. That's generosity. Leftovers. How many like leftovers? What's wrong with the rest of you? He feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If that wasn't enough, each of his disciples had a full basket left over. Generosity. And then they had 7 baskets left over after the feeding of the 4,000. And those 5 disciples are sitting there going, "Where's my basket?" Manna twice a day. Get as much as you want. We're sick of this manna. We want meat. Here's quail. The boys were fishing one day, these professional fishermen. They had their new rods out because they were really going to kill it. They figured it out. And they caught nothing all day. Jesus said, just throw your net over the right side. Oh, carpenter, we know what we're doing. Just cast it on the right side. And they caught the biggest catch they ever caught in their life. They needed help from the surrounding boats because of the generous God. Hey, does your master, does your rabbi Peter pay the temple tax? Of course he does, speaking for Jesus. And then afterwards, in the context, it says Jesus said to him, "Hey, what were you talking about?" And he kind of went, he said, "Well, I spoke for you. I said you pay the temple tax." And Peter said, Jesus said, "Oh, is that right?" He said, "Let me ask you a question. Do the sons of kings pay tribute to their fathers?" And he's like, "No." And he's like, "Oh, then why would I pay a temple tax, Peter? That's my father's house." And Peter's like, "Oh, did I speak out of turn? I normally don't do that." He said, "Yes, you did, Peter, but here's what we'll do. Why don't you go fishing? That's what you're good at. You catch a fish. When you catch that fish, you'll find enough money in there for the temple tax for you and for me. There's a miracle for you, Peter, and I'm going to cover your mistake." Generous. Generous. Does your cup overflow? This maple tree, or the maple trees all over our area later on this season, if they didn't already, I can't remember when it happens, different names for them. Helicopters and whirlybirds. And those trees will dump thousands of replicative DNA all on the ground as they come down. And you will have trees in your gutters and you will have trees in your yard. I mean, you got trees all over the place. Because when God created one tree, he said, "I just got to have my essence in it." And it's overflows. Seed in your fruit, seed in your vegetables, abundance. If someone asks you for their shirt, give them your coat too. Give to everyone that asks. And then ultimately, there's a story about sheep and goat nations. And the goat nations who are on his left, he says, "When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. When I was sick, you didn't come visit me." And on and on. They're like, "Well, when did we not do those things?" And he said, "When you've done it, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it. When you didn't have a bountiful eye, when you had 2 squinty eyes, you didn't do it to me." And then those on his right side, he says to them, "But when I was hungry, you gave me food. And when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in jail, you came and visited me." And they're like, when did we do these things? Who are these people? Who are these people that didn't know, that weren't privileged like us to sit in a church and hear this story? And they said, "When did we do these things?" And they said, "When you've done it, when you were generous, when your eye was bountiful, when you had big eyes, when you saw the way it really is, that you have a Father that gives seed to the sower, that your cup is overflowing, that you have need of nothing, that you can be a distributor of goodness. When you had a bountiful eye, you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. And then he says, well done, good and faithful servant. The church has always been an incredibly generous body on the face of the earth. Do you know why a lot of hospitals are called St. Jude, St. Vincent's, St. Basil? Because it's the church who built them. Do you know it was the church who originally came up with the idea of school and kindergarten and orphanages? It was the church who originally came. It was the church. The reason why orphanages came into being was because in some cultures, depending on the culture that they were in, sometimes it was female babies. They didn't want them. Sometimes it was a handicapped baby. They didn't want them. Or sometimes they had too many babies. And so they would put them outside to die by exposure. And guess who came along and said, we'll take those babies? It was the church. And that's how orphanages started. Because the church saw that they could, if someone else couldn't meet the need, they could. Because they served a generous Father who would take care of that. And so that's why the scripture shows us that God has an incredible focused heart on widows. Why widows? Because in that, especially in that time, the husband and the man was the one who would work and was the provider for that family. And so when the provider could no longer provide, the generous one said, you need to step in. And it wasn't just widows, it was the fatherless, same, and the orphan. And so we have an incredible track record as the body of Christ throughout history of portraying the essence of the generous one. And so as you go as an individual, of course we as a body can do this. I've seen it and you've seen it. I've been in this church family for 37-ish years. And this church family has always been generous to needs around. Always. I've never seen this church family close its hand and have a squinty eye. Never. I can say that with absolute assurance. And we still do that. You have a church leadership that is extremely generous with different things in the community and mission work. And when we see things that are viable, good soil to pour into, your leadership has always been generous. And the question just remains is you as an individual, and I know we could all share stories. I love hearing stories about how we as a church body will rally around individuals who are in need. Just coming in the generosity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so your Father is generous. Your Savior is generous. The Spirit is generous. Let us be the same. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts together. Father, thank you for the privilege of singing today in a land that is at least free for us to do that. We thank you for what this weekend means and what we'll be focusing on, the time that we have to celebrate with family and friends. And just thank you for such a nation that we can do that in. And we pray that you would truly continue to bless this nation and continue to let her know that you are the source of that freedom. And we pray, Father, that as we have heard your word and your goodness about being generous, that will just captivate our lives and explode in our hearts, that wherever you would guide our steps or wherever we would find ourselves as decisions that we make, that we could recognize that we are your kingdom on the spot, that we would truly be the vehicle and the conduit through which the blessing of your bountiful hand comes forth as it comes through our hands and through our bountiful eyes. And may they see our good works and glorify you, Father, which is in heaven. Let them see your beauty. Let them see your goodness. Let them see your generosity through the lives of your people. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend.